Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And tonight we're going to look at verses 37 through 39 tonight. This is actually during this period referring to the time before the Spirit has come, but it's basically a picture of what is to come. I have always loved this scripture. Could you imagine if we had videos of Jesus speaking with the disciples? By the way, the thing I'd love more than anything is go, I told you that's what he looked like. That's the truth. One of the things that's always bothered me are these pictures that I know in no way represent what Jesus would have looked like. And I think we're all in for quite a surprise one day when we're in his presence. And by the action, it won't matter. Amen? It's not going to matter then. But what I'm going to talk about tonight, though, is the principle of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to deal with thirst tonight, but not a thirst in the concept that we think about with a drink of water. We're going to talk about a thirst that's much more important. It's a thirst that can be quenched, a thirst that can transform us, a thirst that can deliver us, a thirst that can sustain us in spite of all that we may face. And tonight, the title is Thirsty, and it's a question. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty, but has the thirst been quenched, and are you living out what it means to be satisfied from that thirst? I hope you found John chapter 7. We'll go ahead and get into it, verse 37 through 39. And if you're able physically tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for the principles of it, Lord, the truth of it. God, thank you that it's a transforming work, God, that you, it's living, breathing, and active. God, thank you tonight, Lord, that your Spirit affirms truth through our hearts, our lives. Father, I pray tonight that as your word speaks to us, Lord, we would yield ourselves to whatever it is that you want to do. Grow us, encourage us, challenge us, convict us, Father. All of it in accordance with your word to carry out the purpose and plan you have for our life. Father, hide me behind the cross tonight so that you alone may be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And be seated. Verse 37 again. So on the last day of the most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Interesting words, cried out. Jesus was saying this with effect. It'd be like if you're sending a text to somebody and you want it to emphasize something, what do? You can capitalize it. My mom, bless her heart, she only knows how to text in capital letters. And by the way, it doesn't bother me. But boy, somebody kidding. Why is Mimi always yelling? What are you talking about? She said it in capital letters. She doesn't know how to make it uncapitalized. That's the reason. She's not yelling. She's just saying it in her voice, which is funny because when I read a text that's capitalized, what do? I read it yelling to myself. Anybody else do that? Isn't that funny? But emphasizing, so you're hearing this, Jesus is crying out. And what does he say? He cries out, "If anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." What thirst is Jesus talking about? We know, but do you remember the time in your life, and that's the first life application principle tonight, that you were thirsty? Do you remember being thirsty? I remember it vividly. I remember it the day I came to faith in Jesus Christ. I remember it in the days leading up to that. Anybody else? Anybody remember this? Is it not an amazing thought to keep here, to always remind you, as I do, that I've not got anything to go back to? I think about that, and I think about what God did in my heart and began the work that He began in me, that He will work until the moment that I go from sanctification to glorification. But I remember what it was like to have that God-shaped hole that was trying to be filled with everything other. Substances didn't do it. Relationships didn't do it. Nothing did it. The only thing that did that was when I gave my life to Christ Jesus. That's when my thirst for truth, for righteousness, for everything was filled. But so importantly, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not only the filling of the Holy Spirit and desiring what? More of that. Anybody in here desire more of that? Anybody in here desire a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Lord? That's why you hear me get so excited, and when I'm doing that, I don't want my enthusiasm to come across as, oh, he's just beating on us again about it. I want it to be a contagious excitement and enthusiasm because I realize what God's Word's done for me, and I know it will do the same for you. God's Word is not exclusive in the way that it speaks to me, nor is it for you. God speaks equally to us, but what He does honor is the time that we spend in His presence and the thirst that we have. The thirst for righteousness, the thirst for truth, but this is equating the thirst and the filling as the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because we clearly see right there, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as Scripture says, will have streams of living water flow up from deep within him. He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not been glorified. So think about the picture of the Holy Spirit of God that not only fills us but wells up. And think about that excess that's coming off of us as the Holy Spirit speaks through us and speaks to us and affirms Scripture and affirms truth. One of the amazing things that we often don't like to address, the conviction. Isn't it awesome when the Holy Spirit convicts you? That's a good thing. One of the scariest things that I could ever think about is allowing, the Scripture talks about the deceitfulness of sin does what? Hardens your heart. Does anybody else get a fear thinking about that? I do. I think about that continually. God, do not let me grow apathetic or complacent. What? With what the outflow of Sodom and Gomorrah was. They were overfed, unconcerned, indifferent, did not care for the poor. These were attitudes and actions that ultimately culminated in their destruction. And people don't realize that can happen to us. Scripture is rife with information about it's better not to know the way of righteousness than to know the way of righteousness and turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you. So I remember being thirsty, and I remember the hopelessness and the emptiness and all of those things that I was, and I would say you were before we came to hear and to knowledge of the truth. And then verse 38 again, but the one who believes in me, as Scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. The second thing I want to share with you or ask you tonight is this: do you remember the day streams of living water began to flow? Again, I remember it vividly. I remember what it was like before, but I also remember what it was like when God filled me. And that was the day that I said I was going to wait to drink. It was too late in the day, and I never had a day. I go, I'm just going to stop drinking. No, I was planning on it that day. It just didn't happen. And I said the next day about 4 o'clock, I hadn't drank today. Well, I'll just wait. If I want it tomorrow, I'll have it tomorrow. And I woke up the next day, and for only about 3 or 4 days, I said, well, I'll wait till the next day, and I'll wait, and the next thing you know, I was forgetting about days. But I had no desire to. And that was not me. I didn't have any pressure at home at all to stop. It was the power of what God had done within me. That water, the streams of water, that living water, that Holy Spirit of God that had been implanted in me had filled me with a God-shaped hole had been placed in that God-shaped hole that he had created for me, because God has put what? Eternity in the hearts of man. So mankind that lives outside of the context of God's creative order cannot be fulfilled. And that's what is so heartbreaking about what's occurring right now socially in our country. We can't do what God created right now because that's considered foolishness. And I'm hearing rumblings that it's considered abuse if you pick up it. Oh, look, we got to put a boy. No, you can't do that in many circumstances now, because it's robbing them of the ability to be who they decide they want to be. I'm sorry, but I can't go along with that, because I know my God has a creative purpose and a creative order that we can only find fulfillment within that created purpose and in that created order. Even though the world may go askew and the world may try any and everything else and try to get us to accept and adopt, if nothing else, to affirm that, we can't. Because what we're doing to people if we do that is we're lying to them. We're telling them that there is another way. There is another truth and there is another life. There is no other way. There is no other truth and there is no other life. Therefore, the thirst that we have is exclusive to the purpose, the plan, and the work of God and his creative order. And to believe for a moment that we can find that outside of it is pure lunacy, because it cannot be done. There's no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved. And I remember that day that streams of living water began to flow up in me, and I remember those years of being thirsty for something. I just didn't know what it was. And I'm so thankful that God in his mercy and his grace was so patient, because I look at myself and I reflect back to one time that I know someone would have killed me when I was a police officer. I've had nightmares about it after I came to faith in Christ that I had died. And it was a horror show in my mind, because I knew back then that I wasn't a believer. And I'm so thankful that God in his patience, his love, his mercy, and his foreordaining, I call it, because God knew that not only was I going to come to faith in Christ, but God had a ministry and a mission for here at Longview Baptist Church. You ever thought about this? What if God knew that I would have never answered the call to ministry? Wonder if God would have been so gracious and so merciful and so long-suffering with me. I don't know. I'm not God. Amen? I just deal with what I can. Like I say, I'm not real what I call it highly intelligent. I'm not dumber than a box of hammers, but I'm, you know, just above that a little bit. But I can't understand the mind of God. We talked about that last week. I'm so thankful, though, that the things that I do know, I can act on tonight, and one of those is to thirst after the living water. I desire a greater, more intimate relationship with Jesus. I desire a greater understanding of the Holy Spirit's work in my life and God's desire to use me to greater levels and to greatly more obediently conform me into his likeness. And I desire to be more holy. I desire to wake up tomorrow and be sinless. That's my hope. And I mean that. I start that every day. God, let me be sinless. Anybody ever thought of that? Because if you wake up and you have that bumper sticker theology, you have started off the day in failure. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Don't do that. Desire to be holy because God is holy, and holiness is without sin. And I think it's important when we do that, because what we do is if we fall into sin, we fall. And what are falls? Accidental. Because if you've yielded yourself to sin, you know what, I'm going to sin today and I'll just ask forgiveness when I do it. What we're doing is saying, okay, I'm already know I'm going to do it. No, I don't want to do it. I want to fall into it. I want it to be accidental. I want it to be something that I in no way planned, whether it's a thought, whether it's an action, whether it's a word. I don't want it to be something that I had yielded myself to before. I want it to be something that's completely when I'm caught off guard, if you know what I'm saying with that. It's important to have a mindset like that. It's an important mindset to want a desire to conform into the likeness of Christ. And to me, desiring to conform into the likeness of Christ is the desire to be perfect. Are we going to achieve that this side of heaven? We know we're not going to do that. We recognize that. But wake up tomorrow and say, God, let me be sinless. God, let me yield to the Holy Spirit's convicting power in my life. Father, let me seek you like never before today. God, let my passion for you eclipse. Let it eclipse my greatest height in my fellowship with you yesterday, let what I did today in relation with you and to, let it be paled in comparison to the heights that I desire to achieve today. Not self-righteously, not that we're any better than anybody else. No, God, I desire a more intimate walk with you, a deeper fellowship, a deeper transparency. We could just go on and on, but these are great prayers to have. Again, I love that Keith Green song and the respect, how it make my life a prayer to you. I want my life to be a prayer to the Lord. I want, Neil Diamond wrote a song, I guess it was in the 70s, The Story of My Life. Been to that song? Story of My Life, not many people know it. I want the story of my life to begin and end with Him. Each chapter sings your name. Each page begins with you. It's a great, I need to write that song in a Christian context. That would be a neat song for us to do, brother. Literally how every page in our life, I want to start and I want it to end with the Lord. I want it to start and end with God's purposes and God's plans and God's will and God's passions. I want the things that give God joy to bring me joy. And I want the things that break the heart of God to break my heart. Super important mindsets, though, because what it does, again, remember how I talk about how we're developing the defaults? We have defaults, okay? Sadly, a lot of times, the defaults that we have are not good defaults. I really firmly am a believer that we can make our defaults what God would desire for us to be. The moment that we find ourselves in fear, where you have so cultivated a mindset and a heart of seeking God's face, when you find yourself in fear, oh man, that song. Oh, that, it's going to get worse, y'all. Just hang in with me. It's such a great song. It's from the 80s, and it talks about fear. It keeps coming back, and then it goes away. But letting your mind go to a song, a hymn, a spiritual song, singing with praise in your heart to the Lord, thinking about that type of scripture, meditate on those things. If there's songs that matter that really have that Wes King song, How Deep is the Love of Christ, when you start thinking about your love for the Lord, God, how deep is incomparable kindness than less to the weak, thinking about how long, how wide, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, it's endless. It has no limits. It has no bounds. When you think about the solar system, and I think about, that's what I always love when I think about sin, we often think of the East is from the West in a global perspective. I don't look at it like that. When I think of sin and I think about what Christ has done, a pastor many years ago said something that just really resonated with me. He said, when we, 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sin, not only is He faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but our sin is lost in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. When Scripture says that it is separated as far as the East is from the West, we think of that hemispherically, from the hemisphere sense, or the global sense. I don't. I think about it in the limitlessness of space. Meaning, it is so far gone, it cannot be remembered. And that's why I love the other one. It's lost in the sea of forgetfulness. That is what Christ does. And isn't it ironic that one of the biggest battles we have is what? Past. The enemy will bring up what God has not even remembered anymore. And yet, we will believe that we have not been forgiven, when in reality, we have been washed spotless, forgotten, remembered no more, only for us to buy the lie in the belief system that what God has forgiven and forgotten is still being held against us. Think about beautiful things that we can remember in scriptures like that with 1 John 1:9, and thinking about conceptually how God has removed as far as the East is from the West, and then focusing our mind on being thankful. God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation as the enemy has tried to rob me of this joy of my salvation, Psalm 51. In the beauty of King David, even after what had happened with Bathsheba, how vile not only the act with Bathsheba itself was, an affront to God himself, but then having Uriah killed. And then in David's repentance and the restorative nature of God and his love refers to David as what? In future tense? In the future times? A man after God's own heart. Wow. Is that not love? The redemptive work of Christ and how in our human perspective it's so hard for us to fathom forgiveness to that level. I've dead up serious heard people go, well, they murdered somebody. They did this, they did that. And the older I get especially, I'm like those old men that get ready to stone her. Because somebody said that in a not real far distant time, and it wasn't here. And I looked and said, oh, well, what are you holding against someone that God has completely forgiven? And you could tell it kind of caught them off guard, but we do that. The human memories and the things that we will hold against someone who has... Now, I'm not talking about an ungenuine brokenness. I'm talking about someone who is broken over sin that you can see a genuine transforming work, who's either gone to counseling, who's done all the necessary things to be restored. Isn't it ironic how... Sadly, many times among followers of Christ, there is a tendency or a propensity to hold things against them. Church, I hope I never see that here, and I've not seen that here. And I'm thankful that this body of Christ is quick to restore. There's been people who have gone and had things happen in their life who've wanted to come back, and I said, come back. We love you. You're our family. And they're nervous that I don't want people to look at me. What do you mean? Only by God's grace was it me or anybody else for that matter. We are broken, born again, saved by the grace and mercy of Christ, and by God's grace, I won't be falling flat on my face by the time I turn out here and go around the corner tonight. And it's only by the restraining power of God, my yielding to the wellspring of life that dwells within me, and yielding myself to the wants, wills, purpose, plans, and desire of Christ, that's going to restrain the nature that all of us battle. Feeding that nature is so imperative, though, not the sin nature, but feeding the spirit man, the spirit nature. And that's why it is so important to pray without ceasing. It's so important when you go up to, as I did one time at a convenience store, and the person, it looked like, I don't know what had happened, they got dragged through the bushes and half their clothes were gone. And this was the person that was in checking people out. And I'll never forget, I walked right up to it and I immediately, peripherally saw that this is not something I need. And I did that. And I never cared about what the person, they never said anything. And I thought, I got to look really weird right now. But I knew that if I didn't do that, there was no way you couldn't go, wait a minute, what's wrong with you? So I continued to look up and finally I said, how much is it? And they told me. And I picked my wallet up and I pulled out the money and I handed it down because I could see the person's face. And I gave them that money. And I got my change, and I walked out. I turned around and walked out the door. That night, there was somebody, this has been many years ago now, there was somebody in here, and on the way home, they commented to their spouse. The husband commented to the spouse, said, has this guy got something wrong with him? Could he not control himself? The spouse said he was sharing a real ability to take a thought captive and be very careful about what you expose yourself to. And the spouse said something more to him a couple minutes, and he didn't understand it. Well, this person goes to work the next day. By the way, he was the one that told me the story many weeks after this. Goes into work the next day, and someone comes in who was scantily dressed. And from their words said, I caught myself for the first time in my life ever willfully and woefully lusting for someone. And they said, when I caught myself doing it, I realized what I had done. And not only did they ask the spouse for forgiveness, but they came to me and shared the story with me. And they said, I sat there in my arrogance and my belief system that what you were doing was because you had some problem that I didn't have. And God, in one day, showed me you had guarded your heart, and I thought mine didn't need guarded. And that's what I'm talking about when there's things that we do. Do you have to do something like that to protect yourself? If you do, to God be the glory. Do it. Why? It matters. It matters. Integrity does not get guarded in any sense if we don't actively pursue guarding our integrity, guarding the body of Christ, guarding the body of Christ universally out in the public, living as a true demonstration of Christ as what? The Spirit wells up in us, living a clear demonstration of Christ's likeness, not because we're legalists. We're not legalist church. We're not saved by our works. We are saved by grace and through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are called to be ambassadors for the kingdom. We are called to be representations. We're called to be reflectors of God's glory. And it's very easy for us to go out there and deflect, to make a marred image of Christ, but it is an overt act of our will. We have to choose to yield ourselves and become a vessel of righteousness in Christ's likeness. And then verse 39, and we're finished. So he says about the Spirit, those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The third and final thing I want to share with you tonight is this. We are called to go and share the story of being thirsty and then filled. Greatest testimony on the planet. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. What has God done in your life? What has God done in your family? I think some of the greatest testimonies we're going to hear this year are going to come out of what's happening over there in that prayer time. I really do. And I think what's going to happen as God starts saving these ones, I think it's going to do a major work in some people who've never prayed like that before. I'm really serious. The prayer of the righteous, right, availeth what? Much. Some versions say the prayer of the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. What is fervent? Anybody know what fervent is? Passionate, faithful, consistent, continual. Scripture already tells us to pray without ceasing. Anybody want to tell me in here if that's the natural tendency or the default of the human mind? It will not happen unless you, over a long period of time, condition yourself to do that. My praying at night when I get up, as you get older, right? Your bathroom of bladder doesn't last through the evening, and you get up a couple times at night, amen? Oh, me. Getting up at night, what my problem was, you know, my mind's active. Anybody else in here have an active mind? Well, I'm the only one. I'll tell you what it's like. If I wake up at night and I don't pray, I won't get any more sleep because I will think about everything and everyone, and I will deeply focus, meditate, and dissect every conversation. My mind goes on a 24-hour loop. So I will remember right now a conversation that happened yesterday, and something will hit me. That's why sometimes you'll get a text at 2 or 3 in the morning, those of you who told me that your phones are on silent or do not disturb, because I will think of something you said to me today, tomorrow. And during my time, when my loop hits tomorrow, I will think about whatever it was, or I'll go, wait a minute, they were really serious about that or whatever. So in the middle of the night, it's that perfect time because it's quiet, and I will begin to focus on things I should not be focused on because I need to sleep. Your body needs to rest. The enemy just loves to keep us distracted, diverted, and busy. Busy with a whole lot of nothing. Just like that hamster running in that wheel. Running, going nowhere fast. So what I realized was, wait a second, I need sleep. So I, out of necessity, started praying every single time that I got up at night, because the moment I got back in bed, guess what happened? I was out. Prayer has a unique way of putting you fast asleep. Next best thing is to play my sermons. Somebody told me this morning, said, you did a really good job. I was asleep in the first 10 minutes. I said, praise the Lord. I said, that speaks more to your spiritual state than anything else. I was giving him a hard time. But it's the truth. So I would love to be pious and humble and say, my prayer at night came out of a desire to be more godly. No, it really came out of a selfish desire to go back to sleep at night. But I've conditioned myself, so now I'm actually truly talking to the Lord, and I'm pouring my heart out to Him as I'm right back asleep. I don't have, and I thank Jesus, I give God all the glory, the dominion, and everything for this tonight, because I won't sleep a wink if I didn't say that. The sweet sleep that I get at night, I attribute completely to prayer. I fall asleep praying every night. I only get to pray about 5 minutes. Used to take me hours. I would lay there, and I would toss, and I would turn, and I would think, and I would get frustrated, and I used to have to take medicine, and I'd try to take Benadryl, and I did this, and I did that. Boy, it's amazing. When I started communing with the Lord, He gives me sweet sleep. Same way that I get up at night now, still the same as it was all those years ago that I started this. I go right back to sleep. Get some of the best sleep that I've ever had in my life. See, I'm so thankful because these are stories that we can share. This is part of our testimony. By the way, we forget often. See, we don't want people to know about our battles. We want to shield. We want to put on these facades that, you know, we're just a good little godly family, that we don't ever have frustrations and struggles. This is church, why I try to be very transparent with you. And when I sit down with people, I'm transparent. I really am. Because I don't want to happen what happened to me a lot of times in life with pastors that I know, not like my dad, because I lived with my dad and family. But the ones that I met and talked to seemed so distant and so far from me. They were so much higher than I was, and they were so different than I was, and they did everything right, and they were perfect. And I never could relate with them. There was never the human dynamic that I saw that I think is very important for us. That's why I think it's just as important when you share your story about what God's doing to make sure you say, listen, I'm not in any way trying to say that I've got it all figured out, but now I serve the one that does. And I'm so thankful that as I thirst after the living water, He fills me. And there's no limit to the love of God and desire of God to fill me with what I can't even believe or comprehend still exists in God's ability to fill us tonight. Nobody in this building tonight, I don't care how godly, how focused, how set on the things of Colossians 3, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. The most godly person in this building right now is in no way near being full. Meaning, God will pour out more of Himself as long as we still desire to fellowship, to dwell in His presence, to seek after Him with all of our hearts. He not only says when we do that, He will be found, but hey, God's promise is to grow us, to cultivate us, conform us, prepare us for eternity. And in this finite mind, the other awesome part is we need the reiteration of biblical truth continually because we forget a lot. That's the other thing. And no matter how godly we'll ever get, we're never going to be totally full. And when we are, we'll know that's happened. Because that's the last day we'll ever breathe. When we have been finished, when the work is done, church, it's time to go home. And right now, there's a prayer. God is preparing a place for us. We don't know what that entails. We know it's going to be awesome. We know it's going to be mind-numbing. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what's in store for those who love Him. And church, I long for that. Tonight, I thirst for the eternal. Anybody else? Are you thirsting tonight for the eternal? Well, I want to tell you something. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, but we have a work to do. We have a work to do, and not only that, God's still working on us. I'll, in closing, go back to that little song that I remember as a child. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient. Been a long time. He must be. He's still working on me. Anybody else ever heard that? It's an awesome song. Those are those child, we call it the children's songs, but it has so much truth for us as adults. And what I wish I'd understood as a child is God's going to be working on me my whole entire life. And just like the story of our lives, it begins and ends with you. Each chapter sings and reads your name. Each page begins with you. Tonight is the story of your life about Him. Yes, God's blessed us with families, but church, those are merely things that we have been given temporarily. He should be here. The rest of it starts here. Our love for God should so supersede our love for the closest relationship we have in life that actually this should honestly look like hatred in comparison to this, our love for Him. God is so good. He is so faithful. He is so merciful. He's so sovereign. He's so gracious. And tonight, as we get ready to head out into our mission fields, pray without ceasing. Pray about the divine appointments that God has for us this week. God, as I go into this meeting, or as I go into the workplace, as I homeschool the kids, or as I, whatever you do, you know your daily schedule. God, open my eyes to the ones you're going to put in front of me. Not only that, Lord, put the words in my mouth. God, don't let them see me, but let them see you. The radiant glory of Christ. As I thirst for you and long to greater, more intimately fellowship with you and dwell in your presence. And church, that's what I say when I say praying in accordance with God's will. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. God, the truth of it, Lord, the blessing of it, the encouragement of it, the challenge of it, Father, and the conviction when we're not doing what we should do. God, thank you tonight, Lord, that as we go home and reflect on our lives now, as we seek your face, Lord, the things that we have not been doing the way we should, Father, we can make a concerted effort and pursue tonight the path and plan that you have for our lives. Lord, thank you for Jesus, Lord, for that gift of salvation. Lord, thank you for the living water, the Holy Spirit that fills us as followers of Jesus Christ to overflowing. Lord, I pray that as you have filled our sponges, our spiritual sponges up, Lord, that we'd go out this week and we'd ring that truth out on those people that we are placed in front of this week in those divine appointments. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in our lives, our families, our workplaces, Lord, that a clear reflection of your glory might be seen in the lives that see us and that we live around with on a daily basis. God, I pray, Lord, that we'll keep our eyes focused on you, the author, perfecter, the finisher of our faith, the path and plan that you have for us, God, and may you be glorified. We ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Love you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org. And click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.